Welcome back, scumbags. We're in for another edition of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, episode 4, The Public Shaming of Melissa.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Nah, I don't need no fraud.
Hey.
I don't need no
drama when you call.
Hey.
Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, y'all? Bravo boys are in the building.
Okay. And listen, we got a bunch of frauds and lies and phonies to talk about tonight. We are back with another episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey. It is season 8, and we are already on episode number 4. Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
And I feel like the drama started, and it hasn't let up, not one bit. And you know we love every minute of it. So, I'm your host, DJ Richie Sky. We got the other host.
You got me, Russell Ray, in the building.
Boom. And we're going to give it to you live and direct. So, get ready. Let's get down into it. So, you know, we start off this episode with Teresa cooking, and, you know, the kids are running amok.
Oh, all the time. Every single time. She can't control her kids. They're out. They're bad. Those are Bebe's kids.
I'm glad you said it and I didn't have to say it. I mean, because this becomes a crucial part of the story for her later, but I was just thinking to myself, like, oh my God, these girls are like a mess. Not in a like a bad, like I don't mean that in a bad way, but they're just rowdy.
They're young.
They're rowdy kids. Yeah, and it's kids. Like, how many of them? 4 of them? And it's one of her. So it's kinda like I feel for her a little bit because I think that there's probably a little bit of guilt there that, you know, she had to be away for a year. Now Joe's away. You know, the grandmother passed. I'm sure it's very difficult to discipline them at this point.
But the issue with it is you have to discipline at this point. Right. Because if not, this is where it all falls apart. Mm-hmm. If you don't get it under control now.
This is true.
And by the way, Gabriella looks just like the Hadid girls. Like, staring at her, I swore she looked like a combination between Gigi and Bella. Ooh. Like, that could be their third sister. So, Teresa, if you're watching this, sign that girl up for modeling because okay. She fits right in with those other two.
Get it started. We learned that, you know, it's been a month at this point, which the timeline seemed a little off with the filming from the Boca trip because I thought it was 2 months later. But, whatever. We learned that it's been some time since, you know, Nona passed. And they're still kind of recovering from that, which is to be expected.
Yeah, it takes a while. I think it took me probably like a year and a half to get over my grandma. Not to get over it, but just keep moving.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that they were able to kind of film this and like keep it moving despite that mm-hmm. happening.
And open a restaurant. Or buy a restaurant in less than a month. That's crazy.
I'm going to get to that. But we get back to the story at Dolores' house. And you know, Siggy's coming over to recap her conversation with Margaret. And Siggy describes, you know, basically gives a lighter version of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she looks a little bit better in this story.
Mm-hmm.
But she indicates that Margaret apologized. And, you know, it's sounding like things are all good. But Dolores is still the Grinch. And she still doesn't really quite trust Margaret. But now, Siggy's gonna stir the pot a little bit by telling Dolores that Margaret said that she's a yes person and that Teresa and Melissa also think so. So now Dolores is like, well, they need to tell me that to my face.
But here's the thing. Melissa did say that to her face. She said
She said that.
She called Dolores to her face, excuse my language, but a kiss ass.
Like, exactly.
Right to the face. So I don't think those girls are being fake. I think Siggy just outed Margaret because she still has animosity for her.
Yep.
And I think she just needs to act right. Like,
Siggy was a mess this entire episode. I mean, I kind of love it, but I'm like, oh, girl, stop.
She is so loud.
My thing is, like, okay, if you're gonna be loud and abrasive, I'm gonna need you to have the backbone to back it up.
Yeah.
Like 2 seconds later, you can't be crying. You either gotta own that personality, that craziness, or you just need to not be that crazy.
Yep.
Like, it's got to be one or the other. I don't know if the pellets are working. I don't know.
I don't think she got the pellets yet. Did she get the pellets yet?
I don't know, but there was talk of pellets last week, and there's talk of pellets this week. If there's any viewer out there on the pellets, please let us know how they work. Are they shot at you, like, from a BB gun? Like, what is going on?
Like, that's what I'm
feeling with pellets. Like, how's that working? Is it, like, pool? So Siggy suggests that, you know, you should talk to them at, you know, my cocktail party where I'm going to be selling handbags. Nope, they're not Margaret's handbags. So there's that. So conversely, Melissa is having Margaret over for dinner.
Uh-oh.
Or actually, no, just snacks and wine, because there was no dinner, but those snacks looked hella good. And Joe wants the story of Super Joe and Margaret's tawdry affair and love connection. Can I tell you that I love that Margaret, hey everybody in the chat, I love that Margaret owns this story in its entirety.
She said, no, we didn't do it in the kitchen. We got to get a hotel. I said, ooh, not the hotel.
Okay.
I said, ooh.
Was it a hotel or a motel? Because that's the difference.
Okay. That's true.
How
would you feel like if the person that you were with left you for someone that was in a hotel versus if they left you if they were in a motel? Would you be more like, would you feel better about it if they were in a hotel?
I would feel better about it if they were in a motel, because now I'm like, I know you went downhill this time. You don't have any taste. That's just my thought.
That's just a I was like, oh.
That's just low down.
Like, don't come home, please. I'll just ship your stuff at X.
Okay, like, I don't know what was in the motel, but you probably got it. Okay? Shout out to all the Motel 6s out there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Okay, so anyway, Joe wants the story. They give it to him. It's not as tawdry as it sounds. You know, Margaret pretty much owns the fact that it was, you know, kind of less, you know, romance novel than everybody was thinking. And she laid it all out there, which I love.
But she did come out with a white beater and no bra on.
And she said those boobs were perky.
And she said she had her pigtails on. So that's scream. Okay, as much as he said it didn't scream porn, that screams porn.
Okay, a little Farrah Fawcett right there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It screams more
Debbie Emily Does Anderson. Dallas. Oh. So, you know, they have to catch up about the whole Siggy situation. And, you know, Margaret basically tells her that, Melissa, that, and shout out to everybody listening to the podcast as well. I wanted to acknowledge you because we didn't acknowledge you guys last week. You know, for anybody who's watching us, we also have viewers who are listening via audio as well. So I wanted to say that.
In this beautiful rhinestoned out room, looking like housewife.
Bling, bling, bling.
Looking like we're going to be part of the Real Husbands of New Jersey.
Okay, we're on the reunion set right now. So, you know, Margaret does catch Melissa up on the drama with Siggy. And, you know, she tells her that she apologizes. But she also mentions that she cried about 5 times. And Melissa, you know, she's still upset because she wants her apology.
Yeah.
Which I get it, you know, because I feel like, you know, Siggy did kind of go down the line. And I do feel like she owes Melissa an apology because I felt like she actually kind of disrespected Melissa a little bit more.
I feel like Melissa has earned it because if Teresa got one, like, and Melissa Margaret did nothing worse than Teresa did. So they're on the same playing field.
Yeah.
And if Teresa got one, then Melissa needs to get one.
My problem only sometimes with Melissa is that Melissa is not direct all the time with her. Like, she's not as forceful, I think, with her. She's not that aggressive.
Like, sharp at the tongue?
Yeah. I mean, well, I feel like she is, but it's more subdued. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's more of a Phaedra style, you know, shady than versus an in your face like Teresa or a Margaret style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, does Teresa just lays
so
it all out on the line.
I feel like she might be the victim of kind of like being overlooked with that apology, or feeling later on. I feel like Siggy felt like she didn't have to apologize to Melissa because she didn't respect her enough. That's what I think.
That's rude, though. If you're going to issue apologies across the line, and one needs to come to her, too.
It does. I totally agree.
Because you can't play favorites when you're acknowledging that you were in the wrong in one perspective.
Right.
And then going to play that you weren't in the wrong on another perspective.
Unless you really don't think you're wrong.
But she's oblivious to everything she said.
Completely.
I'm, like, so taken back by that.
The fact that this is all over a cake throne, I totally agree with Margaret when she said, hashtag first world problems. It's like, girl, get a life. You have bigger things to worry about. You know, like the fact that your son is sleeping with his girlfriend and he's 18 and he's still in high school. Personally, listen, I'm not a parent. I'm not. I just want to go on the record and say that. So if you are parents out there, please correct both of us. I don't know, because I don't know what you got to say about it, but I saw you write it down.
I'm an uncle parent.
Okay. So here's my thing. She wants to talk about, you know, his relationship on camera with his girlfriend, whom he is sleeping with, and he is, while he is 18, he's still in high school. Yes. And still living in the house, because he's going to be, he said in the conversation that he was going to go sleep over at her house. Where are her parents?
True. I didn't think about that, but I thought about
what, when I heard that. Is this a new world?
It has to be, because I'm telling you, that didn't fly when I was in high school.
Let me tell you.
That didn't fly when I was in junior college. Yes, I went to junior college, but that did not fly. It was, nope. The rule of thumb was always, when you're on your own, you could do what you want. Exactly. But while you're in this house,
exactly,
you're going to act right. And you come home, and she goes home, and that's what it is. So for him to be so just nonchalant about the whole thing and say, yeah, I'm going to spend the night at her house, and Siggy to be okay with that?
I'm like, girl.
Aren't you a relationship counselor?
Girl, like, this is not, I don't know. Like, I don't know about it, Sigs. I don't know. Anyway, he doesn't want to talk about it, so she starts to crying again.
He says, I don't know what I did.
And, I mean, poor thing. I mean, I don't know. She feels like every time, okay, so... This issue, I do feel like, is common amongst, like, with boys and their moms. I do think that there is a certain point where, you know, the mom probably wants to know more, and the young man is growing and trying to assert himself as a young adult. Mm-hmm. And he probably just doesn't want to have those types of conversations, you know, with his mom. He'd rather have them with his friends or whoever, or deal with it on his own. Like, I could totally relate to what he was saying to her in that regard.
I don't necessarily think that he shouldn't speak to his mom or that Siggy's prying, but in front of a camera is a whole other situation.
I don't think that she's prying. I think that these are mom questions. However, I just don't necessarily know that, you know, I mean, listen, if he's sleeping at her house, then he ain't got to talk about her. Like,
well, I mean, anybody who follows him on Instagram is gonna know that he's a nasty now, so he was a nasty in high school. Congratulations.
I'm just trying to understand. Yes, she was. I think.
Oh, yes. Sarah. Olga, yes, is right.
What?
Olga said, I cannot get over it when she said he could do what he wants now that he's a senior and can't do much about it.
I'm sorry. Shocked and appalled when she said that. Because I'm thinking to myself, like, I just know how my parents were with me and most of the people that I know. So I'm thinking to myself, like, this must be something new.
But the real question is he coming through the front door or the side window?
Well, whatever it is now the girlfriend's parents have to know. I cannot believe that they are okay with that, too. Like, what?
Yeah.
Nope. Maybe she is 35 and lives by herself.
35. Get it together if you... Well, I mean, hey, that's a come up because he's on a show. So there you go. Win-win. He gets a cougar. She gets a tadpole. They're on a TV show.
There you go.
Spinoff.
Pellets. Okay, so... we're back at Teresa's house. We spent a lot of time at Teresa's house this week. Melissa's going over and she's bringing some cupcakes. They're going to spend a little, you know, sister-in-law time together. And
fun.
You know, it's interesting because yet again, the kids were, Melissa's kind of like, girl, like literally you could see her thinking, mm-hmm, in her head, like, get these kids together.
Mm-hmm, this is us time.
Like, can we film this scene,
mm-hmm.
I gotta go pick up somebody from wrestling. You know what I'm saying? I only got an hour here.
Yep.
You know, so it's so funny that she kind of, you know, is starting to notice, like, that the kids are kind of running Teresa.
Mm-hmm. But they always have.
I think you're right about that. I think that they always have kind of known that mommy was the softer one with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it...
Especially, like, back in the earlier seasons when they were in the little girl shop and they were just running amok and Melania was in the cash register and pulling out cash and just doing all kinds of craziness and hiding behind things and saying she was going to pull her hair out.
Yeah.
It has not changed. Melania has not changed.
I personally can't help but feel for Teresa with the kids. I just do. I just... There's something about watching her with them. Like, you can just see that... Whether and however she's choosing to kind of raise them, you can see that there is so much that those are her world.
Yeah, of course.
You can totally, totally see that. So it's not surprising that she's probably a little bit softer with them. A little, you know what I mean?
Melissa called her soft served.
Whoop.
Mr. Softy.
Yeah.
Melissa is what? About the restaurant.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
Melissa finds out that Teresa knew about the restaurant before she did.
Yep.
So now Melissa is really annoyed. Which I don't blame her, to be very honest with you. I just feel like if you're making, I mean, we talked about this last week, I know, so everybody forgive us, but you're making that huge of an investment. I feel like you should talk to your wife about it. Even if you decided to do it. At least tell her you've decided to do it.
I'm not going to say that I don't like the fact that he went to his sister. I think family communication is always the best, but there's a certain point where you're an adult and your spouse comes first and your family comes second. And Absolutely. That's no disrespect towards your own family, but out of respect to your spouse.
And that's not even the type of decision that would have been detrimental to the family if he had talked to her about it first. Mm-hmm. I just think that that was kind of, I don't know what his thinking was there. I'm still clueless about that.
I would have been so mad because it's like the little kid running and tattletaling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to run to your sister instead of running to your spouse is an issue.
Yeah.
There should be the more open line of communication when, especially that big of an investment. Come on, it's a functioning restaurant already. You're going to take it over.
And then to totally just kind of disregard the fact that she was upset about it. I felt like I get that he has bigger things to think about with it and he's really excited about it. But I think that there should be some acknowledgement that, you know what? I probably should have talked to you about it first. I wanted to surprise you, but, you know, I made maybe the wrong move. Can we move forward? I think that honestly... With Melissa, I think that as soon as he said that, I think she would have been okay.
Yeah, or if he just would have pitched it, right? Like, hey, check it out. I found this restaurant. My dad needs to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to Teresa about it and see how she felt about it before I make any decision. I wanted to come to you because she wants to be involved and she wants to be in on it 100%. Or, right. You know what I mean? Or have a majority of the time there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Melissa would have been able to say her piece. But... I feel like Teresa's also in the wrong because she should have been right on it. Like, you need to talk to Melissa now then. Or you need to... Or have you talked to Melissa about this? She should be questioning her brother.
Well, there's that.
So, I'm siding with Melissa on this one.
I side with her as well. Next, we visit Margaret at her home office with her posse of...
And her mother.
Her dirty grandma.
Dirty grandma.
Let's just say this. I love Marge Sr. I absolutely love her. She could have been a cast member, to be very honest with you. And actually, I kind of want Margaret to cut her hair to kind of resemble Marge Sr.
Like Marge 20?
Sr. has it going on. Like this, I mean,
she's a cutie. She's a cutie.
Frisky. She's sexting. They can't even talk about business because she wants to talk about the guy. And I'm like...
Whose name is Bob.
Okay.
Shout out to Bob.
And we learned that Marge Sr. likes good sex. She likes different things. Different things, everybody.
I
don't know what those different things are, but she likes them.
Here's the thing. Senior is as old as my grandmother. I don't want to hear my grandmother talking about doing the deed. or Mr. Nasty Time or anything in that category.
I feel like we might find Marge Senior twerking somewhere.
I feel like she would be that girl.
I feel like they all were probably twerking right after they got finished filming the scene. She's like, they just give me that kind of crowd. I don't care what anybody says. I love Margaret. I absolutely love her. She is so much fun to me, and she's like a breath of fresh air.
Like we said last week, she's on the table, and you either take it or you leave.
Yeah, and she's fun. I like that. And it doesn't seem put on. It seems like that's just who she is.
Well, maybe her mom is where she got the whole puss pop thing from. She might have overheard it in a couple conversations that her mom was having on the telephone with maybe Bob back about 20 years ago.
Ew, please don't get an image.
Rewind to Maya.
Siggy calls and then invites Margaret to the pocketbook party. And we learned that Margaret will not be in attendance. She will be in Vegas for a shoe show. I just want to know how many products Margaret has. She has purses. She has shoes. What else is she selling?
Well, I hope she has some men products so she can send them to us.
Hey, Marge.
I wear medium.
Large. Large for me, Marge.
But you know what I like about her is she puts her people on a pedestal no matter how high of grade they are. So, you know, this party that she's throwing, she talks about it. She's like, you know, an affordable line of bags and jewelry. And she, no shame at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like it.
And I'm all about that. So if she's going to put her friends on a pedestal, I really think that her and Melissa should go for that business venture together.
And it is called the Macbeth Collection for anybody who's watching. Mm-hmm. All right. So now we get to the DMT lunch. Danielle, Melissa, and Teresa. They're at an Italian restaurant, of course. And, you know, we find out that Teresa has a headache. I'm thinking maybe it's because her hair is pulled back a little too tight. I don't know. She doesn't want to have any wine. I'm just saying it might make you feel better. I don't know. Anyway, so Danielle asks, has anybody spoken to Dolores or Siggy? Because she just wants to know what's going on. Has anybody spoken? And, you know, Melissa is still mad that she hasn't gotten an apology. She is not going to let this go. But nobody's really spoken to anybody yet, only to get invited to the pocketbook party that's coming up. Mm-hmm. More on that in a second. But we learned that Teresa is taking the kids to Puerto Rico because she needs to get away and they need to get away too. And I don't think it's a bad idea for a trip. I just hope she's bringing support. Okay? Because those kids are going to run right over her.
I was
going to
say, have you been to Puerto Rico? Mm-hmm. It is just, I'm not going to say it's not a place for kids, but that's just a whole nother lifestyle.
Right.
So, that's rough. Because there's a lot of people that are consistently moving. You know what I mean? When you go out to little restaurants and things, it's always moving.
At the Epcot Center, where things move slow. How about that?
Or she should stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Because they call it the bubble on Puerto Rico. I stayed there. And, everything is brought to you on the beach. If you want coconut and water, they bring it to you on the beach. You know?
Yeah, and maybe, and hopefully they were going to some type of resort. Olga wonders if Olga in the chat on the live chat.
Hey, Olga in the chat.
Wondering if Danielle isn't want to start drama. She doesn't want to stir the pot. She doesn't want to, but she'll force herself. Interesting. Well, you know what? We're gonna actually get to that point in just a few seconds. So you are right on the money, right there, Olga.
Yes.
Essentially, Melissa kind of gives Teresa a little bit of, I think, tough love, because she kind of insinuates that the kids are kind of working her over a little bit and to get their way. And she kind of encourages Teresa to be a little bit more strict, which I can understand why Teresa, and you can see it on her face, was a little bit put off by that. But I don't think this is one of those cases where it's kind of like maybe it was the wrong thing to do for this person in this time, but there was no malicious intent behind what she said.
Yeah. It was coming from family. I'd rather have heard it come from Melissa than to have heard it come from Dolores or Siggy or Margaret. It's like, this is someone who's in your life, who's looking out for you, who's supposed to have your back as you're supposed to have her back. And so she's just telling you like it is, putting it on a platter, not beating around the bush.
I don't know if I want any advice from Siggy. Just saying.
I'm going to take some advice from her.
Maybe I want to, I mean, we can go to New York Prime if you want to, though, because she apparently has all the connections, and that dinner will probably be free.
I go to Boca. Never been. Always wanted to.
Me neither. So then we get to, oh God, I was dreading the scene because I saw the preview for it. We get to Teresa and Joe at the restaurant, and they are excitedly planning photos because Joe wants to have a tasting. He wants to invite close friends and family. And, you know, they're looking through old photos of the family so that they can, you know, kind of really make the restaurant their own. And we also learned that Joe is a smart man because he bought an already existing business, which I kind of agree with, actually, 110% with that.
Yeah, it's functioning, it's running well.
Exactly. Good numbers. You just take it over.
Yep.
So we learned that Melissa is late and everyone is irritated, to say the least. And Teresa is still holding a bone from Melissa telling her what to do with her kids. So she's still a little agitated, which probably explains why she was riding Melissa so hard about being late. Melissa came in late and she was not having any of it.
She just, okay, Teresa just doesn't know how to let things go.
She doesn't.
And she reminds me of someone I'm related to, and I'm...
Oh, say it.
We're going to say it's not my sisters, so my sisters, don't get mad at me, but it's not my sisters, but it's someone who we are all related to who just doesn't know how to let things go, and it has to always one-up everyone when it comes to the comebacks and has to be the last one standing with the last word said. That's Teresa all the way.
Because that was the entire argument. Like, they went back at it, snipping at each other the entire time about who has more to do. And, you know,
I put petty wop on my notes. The entire Teresa is the definition of petty wop.
The entire situation was petty. And here's the thing. You know, Joe wants Teresa to be in the kitchen, which she's 110% on board with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Melissa's like, well, I'll host. Because she's like, I'm not working. I've already discussed this with him. And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And so then Teresa, obviously, she still can't let this go. She's like, I mean, you wouldn't serve if we asked you to. I felt like that was a little bit of a dig because Melissa used to be a waitress.
Yeah.
So I felt like she was like, I got you. And Melissa was like, I'm not doing that either. Like, I'm not doing anything I said I wasn't going to do. So then Teresa's like, well, I mean, I bet you'll be in here on Fridays and Saturday nights. I bet that's the time that you'll want to be in to support. So I just felt like, oh, my God, girls, let it go. Let it go.
But you should be there on your peak weekends, even if you are the face. Here's the thing. Even if you are the face of the restaurant, that's why people are going there to eat, which is sad to say. Like, it's probably amazing food because they've already said it's amazing food. But people are going there because they want to see Teresa and Joe and Melissa. And if Melissa's running around and waitressing, it's going to... People are going to want to talk to her, and they're going to want to have conversations. But no, if she's hosting, like, hey, guys, you know, they're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
She can also be the lookout, like, Joe, this ain't going right. You need to fix this.
Mm.
Or this girl's behind, or, like, these tables are piling up, you know, whatever. But also, she didn't sign up for this, so they can't be mad at her.
That's my biggest thing, is that she did not sign up for this. She did not say, I want to do this. I want to be here, because she already has a store that she needs to be. Like, I would be like, well, are you guys going to come ring up the cash register at the store? Like, is anybody going to help me do that?
Yep.
That's what I would say.
She got hurdled into this 100%.
And right.
I would not be volunteering for anything either. I'd be like, no, I'll be right here looking real good.
Sure wouldn't do it. Side note, Marsha Speaks says, I love in Florida, Boca is... Oh, I live in Florida. Boca is full of old people and FAU students. That is good to know.
sounds like Palm Springs.
Oh, there you go. But it's beautiful. I love Palm Springs. So anyway, essentially, Joe has the referee and we're out. Now,
that's going to be a disaster.
It is. Dolores is staging her boyfriend's home because he's moving and he's going to be moving close to her. He has a motorcycle in, like, the dining room. I don't know what it is. This was such an odd scene to me because I really didn't remember who David was, because I feel like she already has a man at home. So I was clueless as to who this extra person was. But then I remembered she had a boyfriend who was smaller. So anyway, I say all that to say that it was just odd to me. Like,
it's a total bachelor's pad, though. There's no rhyme or reason to it at all. It's just nothing makes sense. There's a motorcycle in the living room. Get that motorcycle out of my living room. I don't want the tire tracks on my wood floors.
Is he a doctor or something? Like, I cannot remember. Does anybody in the chat remember what he does? Because I do not. But he does something professional. Say that.
So does Mariah Carey, but she's forgettable. She's forgetful. I'm just kidding.
Ooh. Shade.
I'm just trying to jump into the spirit of the Housewives.
and that you did, Teresa. That you did.
Don't call me Teresa. Do not call me Teresa.
So, you know, Siggy kind of reveals that, you know, she can't talk to her son because he doesn't want to talk about, you know, his girlfriend on camera. You know, so she just feels like she can't relate to him. And did she cry here again? I can't remember.
She talked about the cookie. Crying.
That was what I wrote down. Is that she said he's all about his girlfriend's cookie, but he fails to remember that he came out of mine. And then I was just thinking, ew, because this is two totally different cookies we're talking about here.
I was just thinking, this is not okay. This is not okay in any aspect. You're okay with your son being 100% sexually active at the age of 18. Okay.
And you wonder why he's thinking about her cookie more than yours.
Sex ew. Is natural.
Ew.
But okay, so sex is natural, though. It is.
Sex is natural, absolutely.
You need to teach your children, and I know this because I'm a full-time uncle.
Okay.
You know, you need to teach your children how to respect themselves and the girl that they're with, or the person that they are with. Because if you move too fast, you become fast. And then you get thrown into the fast life. And then you don't know how to get out of the fast life.
My, you know, I'm still on the girl and her parents. Like, to your credit, that's what, well, my thing is what you hit the nail right on the head. Because you said that, I just feel like, and maybe this is, I really don't know, I could be called out for this, but I just feel like what you said is true. He is should be taught to have more respect for her, in my opinion.
Yeah. Whatever happens to just nice dinner, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I mean, I was just going to the movies back then. I mean, like...
Yeah.
Wait, never mind.
I was. But whatever happened... What happened to chivalry? Opening
right.
the doors?
I feel like that's what I want him to leave this situation with. Like, and why is it that the girl's parents are okay with this happening? Like, is he just walking in the door at 9 p.m. and they're just going to her room and everybody else is downstairs watching television? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
That's what I need to see.
Like, if I would, the only situation that I would be okay with is if they fell asleep on the couch watching a movie.
Mm-mm.
And then, you know, it's out in the open. Nothing's hidden.
Nope. If I'm her daddy, he gotta go.
No, but if you're watching a movie and you doze off and then you, like, that's the time where it's like, okay, like, you guys fell asleep, like, you know, get it moving. But...
Ain't no sleeping here.
But that's no the sleeping. Only time that I would say, like, that's somewhat okay. Like, you're technically not spending the night, but everything is in the open and everything's in full view. So there's nothing to hide.
I don't know. Maybe we are just old school with that and maybe this is like, you know, we just need to accept that this is the new way of existing for adolescents.
And Siggy's not Italian, but old school Italian lifestyle, respect is of the highest regard. So the fact that this is even happening in Jersey is even worse.
I just feel like respect is something that Siggy has very little regard for. We'll get to that in a second.
Ooh.
Now, for Teresa, we have a brief interlude where she's with Melania and she's playing slime with Melania. I remember having slime and it's disgusting, actually. It looks disgusting on camera and it felt disgusting when I was a kid.
Essentially, you
don't make slime? No. Oh my God.
I make it with my best friend's daughter. She does it with shaving cream and glue. Ooh. It's kind of cool. Did you ever play with Silly Putty?
Yes, but that's different.
Okay, but it depends on the density of your slime. This is totally off topic, but it depends on the density of your slime.
No, that slime want, like, was the slime I used to have.
You don't want
when
like
I
a booger slime. You want almost like a Silly Putty type that you can almost break when you cut it in half, like
that's
flubber.
Slime.
You want flubber
that's
slime.
Clay. That's like Play-Doh. Which that's the slime is just gooey and it's just all over the place. It's just nasty. No. Anyway, we learned that, you know, Melania is emailing, you know, Joe while he's in prison. And, you know, they email each other just about every day. And Melissa says something poignant, which I'm sure this is going to come back later, as we saw in the previews, but we'll talk about that later. She says, Melania doesn't need more discipline. She just needs more love and attention. And I'm like, I will agree with you on that, with the attention. But I feel like she's already loved. there just does need to be a little bit of discipline there.
Okay, I'm just, like, taken back by the fact that, like, she can email her dad so easy. We're going to be nice with words. You're away. So how do you have access to all this? You're supposed to be there thinking about the things that you've done in the wrong and serving your time. You should not have the luxury of being in contact with the outside world, because that's the whole idea of being put away.
Maybe she, I mean, maybe he's in the Martha Stewart ward. I don't know.
Hey, but Martha Stewart did get some street cred. Now she has her show with Snoop Dogg. Go ahead, Martha. I'm mad at you.
There you go. So, it's the night of Siggy's pocketbook party. And she's dancing, doing the cha-cha. And Dolores arrives. And we learn that Siggy is still upset at Melissa because Melissa has not apologized to her the way that Teresa apologized to her. And then we are treated to our weekly glamour shots, where once a week we see the ladies getting ready for an event. They're getting glammed up, dolled up. I absolutely love it. I have no idea why, but I do. I love it.
I saw you perk up like
I did.
And I totally almost missed it. You were like,
there's a moment. You were writing and I was like, there it is. There it is. Do you guys enjoy that? I don't know why I enjoy it. I have no idea.
I feel like we should just create a montage of like all of our, like it would, everyone in the live
I'm
chat.
I'm serious. It has been every week that they've done this. And I hope they keep it up. So then Danielle is picking up Teresa for, you know, the pocketbook party. And I just like saying pocketbook party. And can I just say that Teresa looked amazing walking out of her house with that white fur coat on and those heels. Her hair was straight. She looked amazing.
And the fitted black outfit.
And we learned that Danielle has brought some Vouvé. I can't even say it the way she said it.
Okay, Teresa has had a problem with announcing words since the very first time she stepped on camera. She didn't know how to say eligible, like at one point, you know, and then they say envelope instead of envelope and all kinds of other crazy things. Oh, the Jersey talk.
But the most important thing about this car ride is that, you know, Danielle tells Dolores, this is why I'm inclined to believe Danielle. She says, well, Dolores came over because Frankie wanted to talk to Marty about career advice, letting us know that this was probably something that was filmed and will not be shown.
Okay.
Or just filmed and we just maybe, you know, they don't show everything, right?
No, they don't.
So because of the way she described it, she then lets Teresa know that, you know, Dolores pulled her to the side and said, Teresa's many things, but she's only one of the only things that she's really interested in is money. So be careful. What did you think of that at that moment?
So it's really hard for me because knowing where Dolores sides, or who she sides with, better yet to say, but Teresa already outed herself about that. I think it was the very first episode. She said, I need this book deal. I'm the one who's providing for the family now. I need to make money. And so that's where her mindset's at. So technically, if Dolores parroted that in any way, shape, or form from Teresa's mouth, it came literally straight from the horse's mouth.
I think Danielle's in the wrong. I think you make a good point, but Dolores shouldn't have framed that conversation in that way.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't think Danielle is in the wrong.
Right.
Because it did come straight from the horse's mouth. Yeah. Because Teresa said it on camera.
I can totally see that. But regardless, Teresa is pissed. And I am loving it. Back at the pocketbook party, you know, Melissa arrives and she's happy. And it seems like Siggy's happy to see her. Except that when Melissa asks, well, you know, I haven't heard from you guys. You know, Siggy pretty much loses it at this point. She even goes so far as to say to gather the crowd, completely humiliate Melissa by asking them about the cake situation and if they thought it would be rude if someone threw a birthday cake. And of course, all of Siggy's friends conveniently raised their hands. So then Siggy proceeds to fall out on the floor and wallow around with glee because apparently they have validated her feelings about the situation. Note again, these are her friends validating her opinion, which she's probably already clued them in on, thus embarrassing Teresa. Melissa. This is what makes me mad, though. Dolores claims later that earlier that she's not a yes person. She reacted visibly to Melissa's embarrassment and the way Siggy was acting.
Yeah.
And at no point did she, if she's the friend that she says she is, at no point did she say that was too much.
No, she didn't.
She said it. She acknowledged it, but she didn't say it to her.
Well, I think at one point she said, you're right. You're in the right. You're not wrong. If I'm not mistaken, we'll rewind that and I'll eat crow next week, okay, but I'll look that up.
Dolores, oh, you're just digging a hole for yourself to me.
She really is, okay? She really is.
I just felt like you knew that was too much.
Or do you think that Danielle might have spun the whole thing? Well, now we're getting back to Danielle. Sorry, my bad. I'm transitioning back. But Dolores, do you think that she just takes things in a different aspect or out of context from what is originally said, but actually parrots exactly what has been said or done?
It's difficult to me because I feel like Dolores is losing credibility with me because for some reason you conveniently didn't remember everything that Siggy had said to all of them that night when she called them animals and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Conveniently, you didn't remember that.
Yeah.
You claim that you have Teresa's back, but you've not had her back at all this season in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
You've kind of aligned yourself with Siggy, who has shown herself to be a little bit off kilter at times. So for me, I get why Teresa would believe this.
Yeah.
I totally get it. And I get why I, who is viewing this, would believe it too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thankfully, Teresa and Danielle arrive. And this was the Teresa that I have been missing all season. Because despite the fact that she's still annoyed with Melissa. When Melissa tells her about what happened, she's like, I mean, it was better that it was you than not me, because it would have been a different story. And she's like, you know what? I'm not going to let anybody talk to my sister-in-law like that. And she corrals the girls in Siggy's home, and she proceeds to let Siggy have it.
Yeah.
This was literally I thought that my favorite moment was going to be the Dolores versus Danielle situation.
Yeah.
But it was really that moment that I absolutely loved, because she went off.
But not only that, it showed, yes.
Okay.
Ta-ta. It showed that she was a powerhouse.
It did.
And that she was going to run it, and there was going to be no questions asked.
Exactly.
And it happened. She did that.
And she did not let Siggy get one word in edgewise. And then I loved it when she then turned her attention from Siggy to Dolores. And she's like, why didn't you do anything to stop this? Why didn't you say anything about the whole cake incident? And, you know, Dolores is basically kind of going on about how she does have Teresa's back and how she has actually, you know, risked her own reputation for defending Teresa, which I thought was very, very interesting.
I don't think you should ever throw that out there.
I don't think so either.
Of course you risk your reputation at any time. But not only that, but if you're loyal to someone, you can care less about what the other person's going to think about you because their opinion don't matter.
And you're actually risking your reputation right now.
Yeah, by not having your girls back.
Exactly. Exactly. Because at the end of the day, it's not Teresa and Melissa that have been acting cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It's Siggy.
Yeah.
And you're defending her at every single turn blindly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so glad when Teresa finally addressed that. And then as soon as Dolores was responding, Danielle chimes in so innocently. Well, you did say this. And Dolores blows up.
Do you know what that reminded me of?
What?
That reminded me of when she was at the reunion and she looked at Teresa and she said, did you acknowledge your nephew? I was like, oh no, Danielle's coming back. She's coming for it. Oh no,
And at first I was thinking to myself, Danielle, girl, have you not seen reality TV shows? When they run towards you, you stand up.
You get up.
Okay, but to her credit, now that I think about it, she sat there calmly.
And she held her ground.
She sat there calmly, held her ground. She did not go crazy, berserk. She didn't curse her out. She didn't do anything. She literally stood her ground, which also kind of makes me think that I think she's telling the truth.
She's one step forward, though, because before she was a runner, remember?
Right.
Right. She would always leave, walk away.
But
she said she looked right in her eyes and she was like, "Come at me."
Yeah, I don't know that I would have had the same amount of composure for this chick to be calling me all types of scumbags, like, while I'm sitting right there, and for her to still be standing. Like, I don't know what I would have done. But I have to commend her, because I feel like that was pretty ballsy. And sometimes, you know what, guys? Sometimes it's best not to react.
I feel like Danielle should have just called her out, not worse, but just looked at her dead in the eye and said, "Stand in your truth, acknowledge it."
Right.
She should have taken a page out of Caroline's book.
Yep.
Like, standing your truth. Like, so what? You were in the wrong. Admit it.
Right.
You're caught, and now here you are.
Right.
And it is what it is. Don't be mad at me, because don't say nothing that you don't want heard.
Exactly. So, essentially, Dolores is warning Teresa, you know, you need to be listening to me and not to her. And Danielle exits. And, you know, Teresa and Melissa rightfully leave with Danielle because Teresa came with Danielle and Melissa was probably like, "I'm not staying here with you bitches." So she left as well. So we're left with next week. You know, we're going to find out who's actually, hopefully next week we find out who's lying. But also, guys, Danielle is on Watch What Happens Live tonight. So maybe she's going to be able to give us more information about this. Yes. I'm sure she will. I was watching her on Instagram. She said, definitely tune in tonight. So, you guys, if you can, be sure to check that out. And honestly, guys, that's it for our show.
Yep.
We had so much to talk about. We're going to have a lot to talk about next week. So, you guys, make sure you tune in. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
And you can follow me across all the internet at Russell Ray Silva.
Make sure you guys rate us on iTunes, comment, and YouTube.
Thank y'all for the love.
Exactly. We love it. And I'll be commenting. He'll be commenting. Yes. Tweet us. We love it. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.